Hello there, I'm Rich Coles. You may also know me as Sven Gulli, and you're listening to the big, scary news. Isn't most news these days scary?
Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hi folks, it's Drew Badger. This is Big Scary News for episode 180, and we've done this way too many of late, but we're going to have to start off with some sad news from one of our own. Zombie Hollow Haunted Attraction in Gastonia, North Carolina, just down the road from me, is sad to announce the passing of actor and makeup artist Chris Beaver of an undisclosed illness on June 7th at the all-too-young age of 42. He had been a co-owner of the Haunted Mill in Belmont for many years before coming over to Zombie Hollow. At the Hollow, he played the roles of Chuckles the Clown, the Advisor, and the Bear, and was a talented airbrush artist. On a personal note, my daughters and I all worked at Zombie Hollow for a time, and he always painted up my daughters rather scary. Chris leaves behind several children. The Big Scary Show sends its deepest condolences to the family and friends of Thomas Christopher Beaver and the Zombie Hollow family, and offers up this moment of silence. We have this update from the Midwest Haunters Convention. We want to thank all the members of the Midwest Haunters community who took the time to respond to our survey last week and share their thoughts about attending MHC this summer. After carefully reviewing your comments, it became clear to us that the majority of exhibitors and attendees who responded are reluctant to travel and concerned about attending large indoor events during these uncertain times brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic. Out of an abundance of caution coupled with respect for your opinions, we have decided to cancel the 2020 Midwest Haunters Convention. Instead, we invite you to join us at MHC June 3rd through the 6th, 2021 in Rosemont, Illinois. We look forward to welcoming you next year to a fun-filled convention featuring exciting new products, impactful seminars, and all of the tours, parties, and networking opportunities you've come to expect at the Midwest Haunters Convention. In the interim, we want to be of service to you in any way we can. Please feel free to contact Jen Thaler at jen@haashow.com or Rich Bianco at rich@haashow.com with any questions. Stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you in Rosemont in 2021. Warm regards, Jen Thaler. Keep up with any updates at MidwestHauntersConvention.com. We have some more convention news, this time from SeaHeck, the Southeast Halloween Enthusiast Convention in Gainesville, Florida. After consulting with lots and lots of folks, including convention specialists, county commissioners, Florida governor's office, COVID-19 specialists, Gainesville tourism, and others, I've had to pull the plug on the show. Florida is still in a phase one and allowing no gatherings over 10 people. My show layout for booths and seating to include social distancing made the show impractical. We're not happy, but things just aren't permitted like we'd hoped. Plus, I was looking at 12 people in a seminar room at a time, which makes things impractical. I hope you understand my frustration. It was a wonderful venue, but restrictions make it impossible. Thank you all for your kind support as I work diligently to bring a terrific Halloween enthusiast convention to my fellow Floridians, hopefully in 2021. Keep up with updates at seaheck.com. SeHeck.com. That's SeHeck.com. We have some film news from Kevin Smith via BloodyDisgusting.com. One of the projects Kevin Smith has been working on in quarantine is his Jaws spoof, Moose Jaws, a horror comedy first teased several years back. Moose Jaws is set to be the third and final film in Smith's Canada set, True North Trilogy, which kicked off with Tusk and continued with Yoga Hosers, and the original plan that was that Jay and Silent Bob would appear in it. Silent Bob, we'd heard a while back, was going to be killed by Moose Jaws. But as Smith reveals in a new interview with Jake Hamilton, a rewrite has removed the duo from the movie. Quote, "Right now I'm in the middle of that rewrite, and I'm stripping Jay and Silent Bob out of it," he reveals. "The first draft I had done, Jay and Silent Bob were riddled throughout it, and now I want that movie to be by itself. Jay and Silent Bob are going to come back in the Mallrats sequel and stuff like that, so I'm just kind of DJ and Bobbying Moose Jaws." I hope that made sense. Smith has said at Sundance back in 2016, "Moose Jaws is like, it's my favorite thing I've ever written. This is a fan film. It's like pouring my heart out on a page. I love Jaws and I love Canada and I combine the two of them. So this whole thing is beat for beat Jaws up until the third act. In the third act it becomes Godzilla, Destroy All Monsters, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and ends with Return of the Jedi. It's pretty magical." Justin Long returns as Tusk, he added, and he fights Moose Jaws. You can watch Jake Hamilton's full interview with Kevin Smith on YouTube. We have this news from the UZA Miscreation Haunted Attraction in Phoenix, Arizona. "We're announcing open auditions. Retired and need an outlet or something fun to do? Come out and have some good, clean fun. We have begun our open auditions and training for the 2020 haunt season, and we're in need of extra help for this bigger and scarier event than ever. Positions include costume manager, makeup, on-site maintenance, scare actors, sales, construction, and marketing street team. Any questions, feel free to PM Miscreation. Keep an eye out on our Facebook page for open audition times and dates. Visit miscreation.com or myscreation.com, MYSCREATION, or their Facebook page, facebook.com/UZAMYScreation. We have this news from the Evil Dead franchise via WeWatchTheMovie.com. According to Empire, Bruce Campbell himself has announced the title of the newest newest director to grace the Evil Dead franchise he and Sam Raimi built, stating, "We've just got off the phone with Lee Cronin, who is writing and directing the next Evil Dead. It's called Evil Dead Now. Sam handpicked Lee. He did a cool movie called The Hole in the Ground. We're going to get that sucker out as soon as practical." Granted, everything we've heard up until now says that Bruce is only on the project as a producer and will not be returning to his famous role. Here's what he said about that. Quote, "From this point forward, they kind of have to stand on their own, which is fine and liberating. You could have different heroes, different heroines in this case. This one's going to be a little more dynamic. We just want to keep the series current, and the mantra really is that our heroes and heroines are just regular people. That's what we're going to continue." Unquote. We'll continue to follow this story and keep you updated as we get more information. Hail to the king. We have this news from the Dark Hour Haunted House in Plano, Texas. "At Dark Hour, our company mission is to provide thrilling year-round entertainment for our community. We want nothing more than to provide a safe and healthy outlet for our beloved fans and staff. With that being said, after careful consideration of the continual coronavirus situation, we have made the very difficult decision to cancel our Dog Days of Summer show at the end of July and beginning of August. We were very much looking forward to this event, and we know many of you will be sad to hear this news. Please understand that the professional team behind Dark Hour Haunted House has everyone's safety and well-being at heart when we make these difficult decisions. Opening our show before seeing a substantial decline in coronavirus cases would be irresponsible and could potentially jeopardize the attraction's ability to be open during the approaching Halloween season. Let's all do the best we can to keep one another safe. Let's work to save Halloween. Anyone who has pre-purchased tickets for the Dog Days of Summer event should receive a refund via TicketLeap in the coming days. Thank you for your undying devotion to Dark Hour. From all of us, scream loud and scream often. Keep up with their updates at darkhourhauntedhouse.com. We have this news from Haunters Against Hate. We have a big announcement. Originally, they were going to start on the Book of Haunters Volume 4 at the end of the year to give myself a rest. But with such unrest going on, I want to announce the start of the Book of Haunters Volume 4, Black Haunters Matter. If you are a person of color and a haunter and want to be featured in this volume, please send high-resolution images to paul@hauntersagainsthate.com. All profits from this volume will be donated to the Center for Black Equity in Washington, D.C., which supports the Black LGBTQ+ community. Get more information on this very worthy cause that the Big Scary Show supports 100% at hauntersagainsthate.com. We have this update from Days of the Dead coming to Indianapolis. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actress Danielle Harris to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Indianapolis, happening July 17th through the 19th at the Marriott Center, Indianapolis. Danielle Harris is an American actress, voice actress, and film director. She's also known as a scream queen for her roles in multiple horror films, including four entries in the Halloween franchise, Halloween 4 and 5 as Jamie Lloyd, and the Halloween remake and its sequel as Annie Brackett. Other roles include Tosh in Urban Legend, Belle in Stakeland, and Mary Beth Dunstan in the Hatchet series. In 2012, she was inducted into the Fangoria Hall of Fame. In 2013, Harris made her feature directorial debut with the horror film Among Friends after previously directing a segment from the anthology film Prank and a Stakeland compilation short film. Tickets for Days of the Dead Indianapolis can be purchased at daysofthedead.com. We have this news from a cosplay competition Saturday coming to Cincinnati. Come one, come all, Cosplay Saturday on September 5th. This event is for pros and novices alike. Or come enjoy watching some of the Cincinnati's most creative people go all out in a face-off style competition in person. We will have categories based off the amount of people we have to sign up. Winners will receive notoriety on our website, social media, and a great prize. Get creative. This does not have to be horror related. Check out the rules, and if you have what it takes, send your request to James at AllHallowsServeLLC.com. That's All Hallows Evil, EVELLC.com, and they'll be in touch with you shortly. Don't hold back, and good luck. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/AllHallowsEveAttraction. And I'll bet that email's on that too, so hope I didn't butcher it too bad. We have this news from the Toy Federation in Greer, South Carolina. Come meet Tony Moran, Michael Myers from the original Halloween from 1978. Tony is appearing at the Toy Federation on Saturday, June 27th from 12 to 3 p.m. Don't miss your chance to meet a true horror legend in person, and be sure to get an autographed picture, or they'll have items on sale for him to sign. The Toy Federation is located at 104 Middletown Way in Greer, South Carolina. Get more information on their Facebook page, facebook.com/ToyFederationShop. We have a little vendor news from Zombie Skin via Joe Glenn. I personally hope everyone is staying safe and healthy. I have decided that Zombie Skin will be honoring the trade show pricing until October 31st. We're doing this to support all of our customers during this trying time. God bless you all and stay healthy and safe. Be sure to check out all the Zombie Skin line of very cool products at zombie-skin.com. And finally, we have this good news from the Fear Farm haunted attraction in Blacksburg, South Carolina. We have had a few inquiries and people asking if the Fear Farm was planning on opening this fall, and the answer is yes. Not only are we opening, but this is our 10th year of Fear, and we have had lots of extra time to devote to making this year the best year ever. Stay tuned for all the details and our 2020 calendar. See you before you know it. Keep up with their updates at their Facebook page, facebook.com/scfearfarm. And folks, just again, as we've said many times before, double check on any and all of these, as the situation could change. At the time of this recording, all of this information is correct. That wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
And ladies and gentlemen, we hope you're hunkered down and staying safe, wearing your masks and staying home, because, you know, we want to save Halloween. If you listen to the news I just read, conventions are canceling, haunted houses are not opening, but we definitely can all do our part to make sure that Halloween does in fact happen this year. And while you're hunkered down, we assume you've been watching a lot of movies and a lot of TV, the Netflix and the Hulus and all that stuff. You've probably seen all the good movies out there. But what about the movies that, let's say, aren't quite that good? You know, one thing that we love to do on our show is we love to interview horror hosts. You know, we've had everyone from Sven Gulli and Elvira and Sinister Minister and Al Omega and many, many others. Well, we found one that I remember meeting at the National Haunters Convention in Pennsylvania back in 2013, who was available tonight to speak with us, late night horror host, you might call him. From the Philadelphia area, we have Mr. Lobo with us. Mr. Lobo, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. I'm wearing my mask now so I can wear my masks later for Halloween, right?
I like that phrase. I might have to steal that from you, with your permission, of course. Wear your mask now so you can wear your mask in October.
Yes, well, thank you for such a generous and professional introduction. I can tell
pshaw.
You've done this many times.
Once or twice. So we would consider you a horror host of the bad movie kind, correct?
Well, actually, we like to say they're not bad movies, just misunderstood.
I host
late night movies, I guess, you know, the kind that need a little more love. And to be honest with what I do, and I like to consider what I do Hamburger Helper, it's for me, it's more fun with the ones that need me as much as I need them. I mean, when you're showing one of the great classics and then you're interrupting it every 10 minutes with shtick, you feel like you're doing a disservice. But I think some of these movies you kind of need a breather from. So I feel like it works better if the movies aren't perfect.
Absolutely. Sounds like a lot of fun there. Now, most people, when they're growing up, don't wake up one day and say, you know, I want to be a horror host when I grow up. What was it that influenced you to wake up one day and say, I want to be a horror host? Did you have somebody in the local Philly market or nearby that you watched?
As a kid, I lived in California.
Ah.
I'm a new transplant to the greater Philly area. I lived in California, in Northern California particularly. And you know, people always say, oh, you don't want to be a horror host. I feel like people do want to be horror hosts, just like they want to be cartoon characters or rock stars. Or what do you want to be when you grow up, Johnny? I want to be a Jeep that turns into a robot. You want to be things. But, you know, my influence as a kid and who I thought was the greatest, and I think anyone you see when you're 7 or 8 years old is the greatest, right? That's the best guy.
Tends to work that way.
Forever, usually. But when I was a kid, I watched a show called Creature Features in Northern California. The host of that was Bob Wilkins. And he was not a vampire or a mad scientist or a witch or anything like that. He was just a guy, a sort of a nerdy guy with glasses and a suit and very funny, you know, and just the kind of his treatment of it was he's just a cool guy you'd want to hang out with on a Saturday night, you know, and his treatment of the movies was refreshing at the time, you know, because when horror hosts of the 50s and the early 60s, that was when all the great movies were coming to television, you know, like King Kong and Frankenstein and Son of Frankenstein and Dracula, you know, so Zachary and Vampira and Goulardi, a lot of the movies that they were showing were amazing. Whereas that was the shock package. Those were those films that were coming to television in the 50s and the 60s. But in the 70s and the 80s, the movies that were coming to television were the drive-in fodder of the 60s. And so they were the so bad it's good movies mostly. So his approach was at that time really refreshing, to where he was telling people that maybe not to stay up late because it wasn't worth it. Or he would open the TV guide and read to you the better shows that were on the other channel, you know. And so there was this kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of almost reverse psychology to his approach, because he was always talking about that the movie was deposited on the back steps of the TV station in a brown paper bag. You know? That was Bob's humor.
The self-depreciating is fantastic. I love
yeah,
it.
So I always, you know, and the other thing about it is, because he wasn't scary and I was such a timid kid, it kind of made those movies more palatable for me, because I had kind of a person that I felt safe with and to sort of take me through that world. So it was a very different, I think, approach for that time. And you know, I didn't have the Uncle Spooky Pants or the, you know, whatever character with the heavy makeup and the cape and all that. We just didn't have anyone in our market like that. But when I was a kid, I never met him. I always wish I could. But as an adult, I worked on a magazine, sci-fi pop culture magazine called Planet X. And the magazine did a story about Bob Wilkins. And I got to meet him, and we started doing these live shows where we would do kind of creature feature tribute shows, where we would show It Came From Outer Space and Hardware Wars and things like that on 16mm film, old commercials and weird psychotronic kind of stuff. and then Bob would host. And I started writing material for those shows that we would do, live shows that we would do. And Bob was very encouraging and was like, you know, you should get out in a chair and do this. And I'm like, Bob, people don't do this sort of thing anymore. We're just celebrating what we did when we were kids and your show and what you did. And, you know, there could be a whole nother wave. I remember this was the early 90s, him saying there could be a new wave of horror movie hosts. And I thought, oh, Bob, I don't think that's on the table for me. I don't think that this is something that I could really, I'd love to, but I don't think that it's possible. And about 8 years later, that's how fast things happen. Just because someone encourages you doesn't mean that it happens right away. But 8 years later, I actually worked at a television station, an ABC affiliate in Northern California, Sacramento, to be specific. ABC affiliate, and they had a movie at 3:05 a.m. that ran 25 minutes short, and they had 6-minute commercial breaks. And I went into the general manager's office and I said, you've got this movie overnight that has 6-minute commercial breaks. Have you ever tried to sit through a 6-minute commercial break? Because that's brutal.
Not to mention 3:05 in the morning. That's right. Brutal enough.
And they weren't even selling the time. It was just all promos, you know. And so I said, you know, please let us try to fill that time with something. And they didn't care. And then I developed the formula for Cinema Insomnia, and we just started doing the show at 3:05 a.m. With whatever movies that they were going to show anyway. And what was interesting about it is that we brought that time slot up from hash marks in the ratings, which meant not a discernible rating, to a 2 in the Nielsen ratings, which for that size market was 22,000 homes.
Wow.
So we had 22,000 homes watching at 3 a.m. that we brought up from zero.
How much of that was being pre-taped versus watching live?
I don't know. I mean, I know that my part was not live, but
right.
I don't know who was recording their VCRs in the middle of the night. But I know that just like everywhere, there is an audience. There's always an audience.
Oh, sure.
And I think that that's why I called it Cinema Insomnia, is because I wanted to find all those people who were up in the middle of the night.
Were you a fan of USA's Up All Night or USA Network's Night Flight back in the 80s that would show just these horrible, awful, and misunderstood movies?
Yes.
All night long on Friday and Saturday nights? Oh, my God, they were so terrible.
They were, but there was something, you felt like you were in the Wild West, that anything could happen, and I really liked that aspect of it, because now I was more inclined to stay up with Rhonda Shear than I was with Gilbert.
Oh, Godfrey. I could think of a couple reasons why.
But I did watch her a lot, and I think that there is a little bit of influence from Rhonda in Mr. Lobo, especially talking in the third person. I think there was something about her that was interesting, because one, she was funny, and two, she was again somebody you'd want to be hanging out with on a Saturday night.
Yeah, she was pretty darn hot too. She made many a man out of a teenager, I'm sure.
Oh, certainly. But you know, also on USA was Commander USA was pretty great, and I remember his show, and he was a superhero. He was like a, I don't know if he was an out-of-work superhero or retired superhero, but he hosted, like, Godzilla movies and things in the afternoons on USA. And then there was Night Flight, of course, which, Church of the Subgenius and Devo.
Yes.
And all sorts of really cool things in addition to movies sort of broke on that show. And, you know, there were some other weird ones that I really liked, too, because I did watch Elvira in syndication. And in the 80s, and then also very briefly, but it impacted me, there was a show with Lorraine Newman from Saturday Night Live called the Cannes Film Festival. And it was sponsored by Dr. Pepper. And her and her mother, she was like, it was Lorraine Newman in a cute usherette uniform. And her mother ran a Picture Palace movie theater. And nobody would come see the movies because the movies were so terrible. So they turned the half of the snack bar or the half of the lobby into a laundrette. And so while people were drying their clothes, they would kind of be forced to sit in the movie theater and watch the movies. Nice. And I just love the sort of the self-deprecating humor. And I was in love with Lorraine Newman. I don't know why, but I just thought she was cute. So there were some shows, some hosted movie shows in the 80s that definitely were an influence. But locally, there hadn't been anything of note since Bob for years when I started my show. So basically, when we started doing Cinema Insomnia, I was just creating a show. This would be in 2001. I was just creating a show that I was looking for at 2 in the morning.
And 19 years later, you're still going strong.
Still going. I was not smart enough to quit, you know.
Go ahead.
I've spent a lot of time with Ron Swede, who's the ghoul, and Cassandra Peterson, who's Elvira, mm-hmm. and Bob Wilkins, and John Stanley, who came after Bob on the same program as the host. And, most of these guys that I've talked with or interviewed, I worked on American Scary, which is a documentary about horror movie hosts, and I was one of the researchers on that. But most of these guys that I talked to, the only ones that had regrets were the ones that had stopped. And I think that once you do it, it gets in your blood, and it becomes part of your personality.
Sure.
And I've been Mr. Lobo for almost 20 years now, and I don't know how to be anybody else at this point. So it's an interesting thing, because I think that sometimes when you're performing, there's a point, and I don't know when you discover this point, but you realize that the person you're pretending to be for yourself is a lot closer to who you really are than the person you're pretending to be for ex-wives and bill collectors and bosses and people you went to school with and your family and et cetera, et cetera. So, we all have guises that we wear for other people, and sometimes the guise we wear for ourselves sticks a little bit.
Interesting.
Gets under your skin.
Now, with 19 years of Cinema Insomnia, and we ask this to basically every horror host we've ever had on the show, is there one film that no matter how hard you try, there is just no way that 5 minutes in that you're going to be able to watch the rest of it, and it's just never going to make the show?
Oh, boy, that's tough. It's interesting, because I remember I never wanted to do Manos, because I felt like...
Been done.
Science. What?
Well, been done.
I think Mystery Science Theater kind of owns it, but I know that Aaron, my producer, wrote a Manos episode, and I think the way we're going to take it on is going to be hopefully totally different. Mr. Lobo actually leaves the show, so we're really following what Mr. Lobo's doing, not hosting Manos. But that was one for a long time where people would ask me to host it, and I really thought, that movie doesn't inspire me very much. It's like, when I look at it, it doesn't really inspire me to write anything, and I feel like, I would want to do something totally different than what Mystery Science Theater did. The other one that I, for the longest time, didn't have any ideas for was Beast from Haunted Cave. It just didn't inspire me to write anything, so I just didn't. I have a lot of material in my show. My show is different than a lot of shows because I do about 18 to 22 wraparounds. And so there's about maybe 25 minutes to a half an hour, sometimes more, of original material in the show. And it's usually very integrated with what's going on in the movie. I know some horror hosts, they don't really watch the movie. They just kind of, they give information about the movie, but they're not really playing off of the things that are happening in the movie beat for beat. And a lot of the humor on the show, I have almost a parallel storyline where something is happening to Mr. Lobo pretty much almost beat for beat what's happening in the movie.
Nice. Now, I see you on social media a lot, and you have something that's called OSI 74, which if you look into it for a few minutes, you'll find out it's a little bit different. It's not necessarily horror, but it's a Roku channel that you now have, but it's just a really, really bizarre treatment of all strange pop culture, weird stuff that haunters love. What got you into creating OSI 74? And I'm sure I did not explain it very well.
Well, you know, how do you explain the unexplainable?
Good point.
I've always been interested in, I mean, even on Cinema Insomni, we don't strictly do horror movies. We do cult movies. We've done mysteries. We've done, all sorts of genres of films, as long as they're weird and they sort of fit the format and they have that sort of late night certain something, they work on the show. And, I like horror stuff a lot, but there's a lot of other weird stuff I really like too. And I was working with a horror channel. They, I designed the logo for that channel. I did a lot of the programming. And I really enjoyed working at that channel, but they had sold the channel. And suddenly we just found ourselves in a position where it's like, oh, I guess that's done now. And we were still having fun. And my wife, Dixie, and I said, well, you know what? We were always butting heads anyway. If we didn't have to butt heads with anyone, we could just create our own TV channel from scratch. What would we do? And I really found myself thinking a lot about the weird stations from when I was a kid, the UHF stations and the early cable stations, where you would just stay up all night hoping to see something you've never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just basically started, I designed the logo for OSI 74. Outer Space International is what OSI stands for. And I thought it was funny because there's American International, which is a distributor. And they distribute a lot of the classic drive-in movies. And then there's Universal International, which, of course, distributed a bunch of the classic movies. But those are both oxymorons, right? If you're international, if you're American, if you're international, that includes American. If you're Universal, then Universal includes international. So they're both oxymorons, basically. So I thought Outer Space International was just as nonsensical as American International or Universal International. So I just thought that I would just set it there. And then that kind of puts it in a fantasy world. We could kind of go anywhere from there, not really limited to just horror stuff, but just the whole universe of weirdness. And I pretty much went through my address book and found all my dejected producer friends who couldn't get good distribution on some of their stuff that I admired. All of my episodes of my show, but at least 90 episodes of my show are on OSI 74. It's all on demand. We have about 860 pieces of content up there right now. And there are other horror hosts. You had mentioned some of the other people that you've interviewed on your show, like Ormond Grimsby, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of those, a lot of those people you will find on OSI 74. The other thing is that, like I said, we've got Saturday morning cartoons. We have weird public access TV shows. Mm-hmm. We've got conspiracy documentaries. I mean, there's just everything strange under the sun. A lot of the times I end up saying we have things that are weird, we have things that are retro, and we have things that are funny, and sometimes they're a combination of two or more of those things. And that pretty much covers it. But I mean, there is a lot of horror stuff, but I feel like a lot of people are covering the horror stuff pretty well. So I have a little more of an eye out for the other stuff, just because I think the horror stuff is a little easier to find on other channels. But we do have a lot of that stuff, too.
Sure. Well, I'm looking at the clock here, and I know I have to start winding this down, but I know you host everything from watch parties, and you did this great thing called the Stay Inside Show last weekend, which was kind of a sideshow type of watch party, I guess, for lack of anything. Go ahead.
You can actually see that on OSA 74, too. So if you missed the watch party with the Stay Inside Show, you could actually watch that program.
Oh, nice.
Completion on OSI, on your Roku.
But for people who want more information on Mr. Lobo, Cinema Insomnia, or OSI 74, where are places where people can get more information with websites, social medias, etc.?
Yes, of course, you can find OSI 74 at osi74.com, or again, just add OSI 74 to your Roku. I am easy to find on Facebook. There is a Mr. Lobo's Cinema Insomnia Fans group, which has about, around 3,000 people in it right now, and it's pretty hopping. That's my favorite. There's a couple other Facebook channels, but Facebook pages, but that's probably the most active right now. There is an OSI Facebook page also. There's a Mr. Lobo Twitter, all that other stuff. Also, if you've got Amazon, we have a few episodes, including the Bob Wilkins Halloween special, Cinema Insomnia episodes on Amazon, and more episodes will be added to Amazon as they are approved. So if you have Amazon Prime, you could get into the show right away. We have a bunch on YouTube. I mean, basically anywhere you're hiding, without looking very hard, you should be able to start watching episodes of Cinema Insomnia. And we've been doing these live watch parties pretty much every Saturday night, with few exception, since the pandemic began, on the Mr. Lobo's Cinema Insomnia Facebook page. But yeah, thank you for letting me plug all that.
Absolutely. Last question. Favorite movie you have hosted?
Gosh, you just could bring the hammer down on the last question.
We end strong if we can.
They're all like children, right? They're all like your deformed under the stairs children. It's very hard to pick a favorite, but I think the movie that I'm the most connected to that I've actually hosted is Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Ah.
I have always been a huge Ed Wood fan. I think that movie symbolizes the struggle of every independent film ever made. It has a horror host connection. It has a Bela Lugosi connection. It's sci-fi and it's horror and it's funny and it's camp and it's a midnight movie. There's so many aspects to it that I connect with. I was in the remake of Plan. I was Criswell in the remake of the 2016 remake. So there's just so many things. So I also whenever I watch Plan 9 from Outer Space, I feel like it's 3 a.m. and I like that feeling.
Here's your fun fact of the day. My mother went to high school with Gregory Wolcott, who's the leading man.
All right. Wow. Jeff Trent. That's
she doesn't admit that, but I've read his biography and I was like, yeah, they went to high school together. So anyway,
that's cool. I would be very proud to admit that because, like I said, I'm a fan.
There you go. So once again, we want to thank Mr. Lobo from the Philadelphia region for joining us here on Big Scary News. Remember, folks, check out Cinema Insomnia and OSI 74. Go ahead and start streaming some of the most bizarre, strange, weird, and delightful things you'll ever see coming out of your TV while we're all hunkered down here trying to outlast the pandemic. Remember, folks, be safe. Wear your mask now so you can wear your mask in October. I am so stealing that. But again, thank you, Mr. Lobo.
Enjoy.
Absolutely.
With my compliments.
Thank you very much. This is Drew Badger, and this is the Big Scary News.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, froggiesfog.com. Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.